Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday to all of you. Hope you had a great New Year's Day yesterday. Two-thirds of the football we were expecting for horrible reasons. We'll get into college football. We're a day closer to week 18, getting the regular season out of the way, playoff football get here. That'll be cool. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Best show in the world. How you doing, Pope Zaza?
Best show in the world.
Best show in the world. What's going on, man?
All right, we're looking a little too homerish. I happen to be wearing my Texans t-shirt, and you're wearing your H-Town t-shirt, or hoodie. Yeah.
Do we need to confer before the show to make sure that we're only like 50% homerish, or what do we need to do? Do I need to?
We look a little too much like we're in our mom's basement.
Whatever.
Doing a podcast.
I feel like
right
we
now.
Look like we're ready for week 18. I don't know about you. I'm ready for the Titans,
hey,
baby.
Sean, hey. What do you think about all these people who don't think the Texans are the best team in the NFL?
Yes.
Losers! Mm-hmm. That's our, yeah.
You know what I noticed, too? Like, you know what we may need more of? You see some of the clips that come from Cam Newton's podcast, I'm sure, that drop online.
We need more hats?
Maybe. But Cam always hits this sounder after he expresses his hot take where it's like, Kung!
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he does it like every 45 seconds or so. And I'm like, boy, that is really, he is making a lot of good points. And I don't know why I think that.
That's a level of gravitas that we just don't have on this show. Have we said any damn thing that's Kong worthy in the last 3 months?
No, that's the point. I don't know that the stuff he's saying is worthy, but like the fact that it's that he's playing that makes it feel like, wow, that was a hot take.
It springs forth from a level of confidence and a charisma that if the audience will, a lot of times they'll just be like, well, if he's that confident about it,
right?
If he put a Kong after it,
because he had a take online that the WNBA was going to pass Major League Baseball in like the next 10 years or something like that in popularity. And I'm like, that's the dumbest
they
thing.
They conged that.
I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And he goes, Kung! Right afterwards. I'm like, okay, well, this WNBA is making some waves here.
Like, I didn't know. I got to go read up. Yeah. I thought, gosh. Stupid me for being skeptical.
So I say all that to say that if we are going to be the best in the world in 2025, we may need to, we may need to entertain sound effects to kind of hammer home our takes.
My little desk bell isn't going to cut it anymore.
It's not.
That's cute and funny, which, by the way, it's broken. It's banged up. Which is a horrible excuse, but it's banged up.
Why? And someone's been pretty full of themselves lately, apparently, using it all the time.
No, I threw it in disgust. It was as I was doing. It was after the Ravens game, and I hit like a 2.5 hour live stream because I was like, that's it. I'm just gonna go through it. It was more for self cleansing than anything else.
Therapy.
And I got to a point where I just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take all the guys on offense. Just every single one of them.
All of them.
I couldn't handle what nice fellas they are. I think it was when somebody was talking about how close-knit everybody is.
Yeah.
It was either Bobby or CJ talking about like, hey, we're really tight. And I'm like, at some point, you're like, that's great. Honestly, I would prefer that you all hated each other, but were good at football.
Yeah, that would be good.
Like, hate yourself. I would rather that you despise your teammates, but you're good at football. Good at football. Which has been the case on some championship teams.
Many teams, many teams. Hey, we're going to get to this later, but The Athletic had an article about what quarterbacks and some running backs, I guess, are buying for their offensive linemen. If you were CJ, would you have bought anything for your offensive line?
It's a tough one, man. It's like buying it for your least favorite in-law. You're like, well, I got it's going to be conspicuous if I don't do it. So I guess I'd...
Level of protection that you've gotten this year affect your buying habits? Let me ask you that then.
Because That's a good question, yeah. Because then would you actually... Most quarterbacks get all the offensive linemen pretty much the same gift.
Right.
You know, like, oh, they're all getting a golf cart or whatever. So do you go find their PFF grades or something?
Yes.
And actually make it like, okay.
You know, that's what I would do.
Here, you get a $25 gift certificate to Hooters.
Yeah.
And, but no, you.
The now defunct Hooters.
Yeah. Are they defunct?
They closed some locations here. I know that. Yeah.
Toys R Us. Here you go. Yes. Here's a $25 gift card from 1997 to Toys R Us.
Party City. Better get it in this week.
Oh, yeah. Did they go bankrupt?
Yeah, bankrupt. Yeah. Yeah.
I had just assumed they went bankrupt every year. And like in February, they go bankrupt, yeah. And then they maneuver around and then get back up.
Feels like it's the real deal this time.
It's like, listen, we rented a bunch of places for 1 month in December. What are we going to do? Declare bankruptcy. We'll be back at it.
So CJ and the gift giving.
He probably gave him. I have not heard any mention of what he actually got them or anything.
No, I'll ask around. I'll see what I can find out.
It's getting a little out of hand.
Dude.
I don't like seeing. Honestly, I don't like watching any athlete buy like a whole bunch of crap it's too much. I don't care how rich anybody is. Listen, I know every time I say this, somebody's like, "How are you going to blow all that money?" Like, will you please pay attention for a little bit to professional sports and find out how many guys end up destitute, no matter how much money they made.
That's right.
Through a combination of hangers-ons and usually it's out of too much generosity.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yep.
It's out of too much generosity.
Yes.
Yes. Some guys make bad business decisions or what have you, but more than anything, yes, you're just too generous with people who, this is what the lesson you need to remember. Nobody remembers it. 15 years later, they've all come up with other reasons to feel like, oh yeah, well that was no big deal for him to lend me all that money.
Right.
Why would I help him out with anything now?
No good deed goes unpunished. You're absolutely right.
So long story short, I hope that CJ got all those guys savings bonds.
Yeah, there you go. He bought them all. They're all partners in a mutual fund.
You know what? That would actually be a nice one. Instead of spending $25,000 on a golf cart for each guy, give them a $25,000 restricted fund.
Can't touch
that
it.
They don't have access to until they're like 40.
Dude.
Yeah. It's going to sit there and grow in a mutual fund, and then you'll have access to it just in case for a rainy day.
You'll never get a marquee free agent offensive lineman to come here ever again, but you'll have a very responsible group in the moment.
I would rather have guys that actually appreciate that. Yeah. I'd rather have those are the guys that are like, oh, my quarterback cares about
That's true. So did you see that Amy Adams activated her cosplay mode yesterday?
Is it just Amy Adams now?
Amy Adams Strunk. Sorry, yeah, Amy Adams Strunk.
Don't you ever call Amy Adams Strunk Amy Adams again.
No.
Whichever she is, the singer or the actress that I get confused with the other little waif-like thing.
The little ginger. Yeah, she's cute. They now have the oil derrick up from the Oiler days as their profile.
They're wearing their throwbacks this week again.
I guess you better be if you're putting the oil derrick up on your Twitter account.
I read that they're all right, Amy Adams Strunk, and it's very meaningful for her to. It was very powerful. Emotionally to be able to beat the Texans in Houston.
Oh, this year, in Week 12. Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons. Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons actually talked about that.
And not just for us, for Miss Amy. You know, we know the history behind everything, and just to see her in this locker room, you know, with tears in her eyes, you know, how much this means to her. Now, that's the reason why, you know, we, especially myself, like, go out there and give them all. You know, we had a mindset last night. We talked about it. You know, let this game mean a little more and play for our owner. Yeah, she got the game ball. And, you know, like I said, this was for her. You know, being able to come here. You know, she even showed me her belt buckle. know, she had her Snorla belt buckle on, and you know, just to see that, and like I said, when she gave the speech and said how much this means to her, you know, that's the reason why you play this game. And you, when you have an owners who care, who do everything for us, you know, it's easy to go to war for her.
Okay.
Who was especially when she shows you her butt.
Who was it? Was that both Jeffrey
Simmons?
It
was Jeffrey Simmons both. It was okay. Two different angles.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. At the, in the moment where he's that, like, hey, she showed me her butt.
She showed me her butt.
I'm like, oh, yeah. That's not an incentive to go win. Are you kidding me?
Ah, my butt buckle.
You know who
I got to keep that thing buckled up. So don't get loose. That's what I always, yeah.
I feel worst for Mike Vrabel from last year. And not that I should feel terrible for Vrabel. He was the opposing head coach. He's going to get a great job. They fired him after the season. But him having to walk around doing the Bum Phillips cosplay when he looked about as interested in doing so as, you know, somebody from the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 1970s.
He looked like he was out there just pretending to be a cowboy. When, you know, and it was always that I don't think Vrabel probably was thrilled about being pressured into that by the owner who would go on to fire him. Like, basically, he was degraded by the woman who would then show Vrabel her butt as she turned her back on him.
Yeah, it was week 15. It wasn't like it was week 2. Like, she fired him like 3 weeks later. Yeah.
It's tricky too, man. You're like, I remember it's all right. You're dressing up like Bum Phillips. Yeah. And a guy who is who fought in the Pacific in World War II as a Marine,
yeah,
just some of the most brutal stuff ever, was an actual cowboy. And then Mike Vrabel, a guy who had his purse snatched in West University, is out there trying to dress up like Bum Phillips.
His house was broken into, and his rings were taken. And his purse snatched.
Was it even broken into? It was some movers or something, wasn't it?
I don't know. Did they solve
the mystery? He got his purse snatched in West U, and he's dressing up like Bum Phillips.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude, that guy was at Iwo Jima.
Yeah.
You had to call the cops because somebody stole your trinkets. Yeah. No. No.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Trinkets. Super Bowl rings, trinkets.
Trinket of sorts.
Payne and Pendergast. It is a high-level trinket, no doubt.
Yeah.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, we got a lot to get into today. Definitely Texans to get into. College football playoff. So we are now we're now 7 games in. We've got 1 game left. It's this afternoon. It was supposed to be last night. 7 games in, the biggest thing this college football playoff is going to be remembered for so far is not even a football game. We'll lay out, but yesterday there was finally a great football game. We'll lay it all out for you. College football playoffs coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln of Sugarland. On the Southwest Freeway, exit Kirkwood and take the first U-turn at West Airport under the giant American flag.
All right, welcome back. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610 on a January 2nd edition of the show. So there will be football today. Horrible reasons why, but there will be football today. 3 o'clock, the Sugar Bowl will kick off. Yesterday, it was strange yesterday, Seth, in the middle of the show, I get a text from my dad, who I don't text with all that often, but I get a text from him. And on New Year's Day, like, that's an appropriate day to get one. Happy New Year, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But his text was along the lines of, hey, if you and Amy are in New Orleans, you know, hope you're safe, prayer hands, you know, all hearts, all those things. And I'm going, oh, okay, well, this is, thank you. We're not in New Orleans. You know, I'm in Houston. I'm working. And then I get the push notifications about what's going on in New Orleans. I'm like, oh, okay, now I know why Pop sent that text to me. And I obviously had a lot of friends there, you know, with Notre Dame and Georgia. So I immediately went into group text mode. Like, okay, can everybody roll call? Can we everybody check in? And everybody reminded me on that text, like, Sean, we're in our 50s. We don't go out for New Year's Eve anymore. We're all safe. But all kidding aside, like, it was horrible yesterday in New Orleans. It was, if you haven't heard the story, a man whose home is here in Houston, a truck that originated as a rental in Pasadena, drove through Bourbon Street at Mach 5 speed in the middle of the night on New Year's, basically January 1st night, the morning of January 1st at about 3:15 in the morning, killed 15 people, put a bunch of others in the hospital, triggered all sorts of IED sweeps of the Superdome. It was framed as a terrorist attack on New Orleans. It triggered investigations back here in Houston at the man's home yesterday. And at the end of the day, the game was postponed till today. This will be, so far, this is the biggest story of the, like, this is what this college football playoff is going to be remembered for so far.
Yeah, and it's we discussed yesterday what kind of if we should transition out of sports radio into something else. And this reminded me very quickly, like, nope.
I'm good.
I cannot be talking about horrible, awful things like this all day because it's sad.
Yeah.
And it's also like kind of a reminder of the reality that this is a, I don't know. It's like the, you know, movie theater shootings for a few years there. It just becomes it's just something. It's a weird thing that you didn't used to think about.
Yeah.
When you're out in public, they're like, okay, plotting your exit strategy or anything like that. So it's just feel horrible for those people.
There's no hot take about what actually happened. It's horrible. Yeah.
We'll
horrible.
Save that for our alternate podcast.
Right. So I mean, the things I do think about, one, I mean, I've been to the Sugar Bowl a couple of times. Like it's scary when you can put yourself in that scene, you know, like, wow, I've been on Bourbon Street a couple dozen times in my life, at least, you know, like I can't even imagine. And nowadays too, Seth, the other thing, and we'll circle over to football in a minute, I promise, but I almost feel like we have too much footage of this stuff now. Like, it's like, I'm sure there's other things that I can think of recently here that, you know, that have been bad where you get too much footage. But boy, like, I mean, on Bourbon Street, there's security cameras everywhere. So you're like, well, now here's the angle of him turning the corner and hitting the gas.
It is.
Here's the angle of him really hitting top speed. Here's camera footage. And this is I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like, you're in Bourbon Street, so everybody's got a phone. So now you have aftermath video from people's phones. Like, I'm like, man, this feels like too much, man.
I do. It's horrible because you end up seeing all these different angles of it and everything. But as far as from a, you know, if we were to go back 20 years and you were to say, hey, there'll be a time where there's cameras everywhere, like every single person you meet will have a recording device, I would have thought, like, oh boy, this sounds like Big Brother, you know, like, oh boy, we're under constant surveillance and everything. There's a part of it, now that it's become just the norm that everybody's being recorded all the time, potentially, and maybe this is evidence of my middle-agedom, I kind of like it.
Okay.
I don't think that, I think there are a lot of bad things that used to happen that don't happen anymore because people know that there's a really good chance they're going to get caught on camera.
Yeah.
You watch a lot of these like true crime stories from the 90s and you're like, wow, that never would have happened these days because nobody would have tried that. It would have been recorded by 10 people in the bar or whatever.
Yep,
so
yep.
For whatever it's worth, I mean, maybe that's because I'm becoming an old man. I don't worry about the stuff I might get caught doing. I worry about the stuff. Like I like a little bit of like, okay, or when there is a crime, there's more resources to be able to go out and figure it out, especially if it's something really horrific.
Totally fair point. Totally fair point. I think the two sports angles with this, football angles with this, one, and this affects you and I, the Super Bowl is going to be in New Orleans this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going. You know, we hope the Texans go, but we as a station are going to the Super Bowl, or so we think. Do you think this in any way affects the NFL and the Super Bowl in New Orleans? I think it's almost certainly affects the level of security that'll be there. Like, I think there's going to be more layers of security, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they've already, you know, when we had the Super Bowl here, it's crazy how much around the actual event. There were three perimeters, I think. Wasn't it? You had to go, like, through three security checkpoints to get into the actual game itself. There was, like, one at the edge of the parking lot. Then you had to get another one to get up to the stadium. And then, obviously, you've got your normal
I didn't go. I don't know. I was doing radio.
Oh, you weren't?
My national show at the time, watching, looking out the window at NRG Stadium saying, I sure wish I was there instead of doing this damn radio show.
I was there.
Yeah. You know better than I do.
I was there in one of the weirdest, most surreal experiences I've ever had. I ended up sitting next to Ted Cruz's wife with my brother, and I have no idea how or why.
Huh.
It had something to do with my brother's association with USA Rugby. He ended up in the same suite.
Okay. Is it nice?
What's that?
Was it nice? Did you have a good time?
No, it was really nice.
Yeah.
And my brother, we had a good, like, my brother didn't know that it was Ted Cruz's wife, and he was just having a nice, pleasant, non-political discussion about everything.
There you go. That's good.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it, I mean, this is us. We've seen this happen now. People drive.
Yeah.
Every now and then, somebody drives a car into a swath of people at a parade, and it sucks.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. And in the aftermath, like in the 2 hours after it happens, you see all sorts of speculation about, oh, could they move the Super Bowl? I'm like, they're not moving the Super Bowl. There's a lot invested in this.
This has happened in rural areas. Yeah. It's happened, or I mean, smaller cities.
There's maniacs everywhere. There's maniacs. And if anything...
They're going to move it to a city where there's no potential maniacs.
Right. Well, I almost...
Even from the guys from Houston that allegedly did it.
That's right. The other thing, and this is more like in the moment now, I mean, you're a former football player, so you can answer this better than I can. The Notre Dame and Georgia players woke up yesterday, and I understand, let me just preface, I understand what I'm saying now is sportsy, touchy-feely, has like not even in the same realm as the tragedy that happened yesterday, but we're a sports show. So Notre Dame and Georgia both woke up yesterday amped to play in their version of the Super Bowl, probably. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they were that level of mentality of going into that game. And then you find out at lunchtime that the game's pushed till 3 o'clock the next day.
Yeah.
Like how hard is that to, do you think? I mean, I know you've never been put in a situation where a game's been postponed like this, but you have been in a situation where you've woken up the morning of the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
How hard would that have been?
Up and ready to go.
How hard would that have been if they had to push the AFC Championship game to the next day?
I think it's one of those things that probably difficult, obviously, but that both teams are going through the exact same scenario.
Yeah.
And because those night games, I mean, obviously, it's a very unique situation, the reason why it would be this way.
Yeah.
But I guess it's the fact that both teams are going to deal with it. And if anything, you look at it just from a purely selfish perspective, setting aside the reason for it.
Sure.
You're just like, okay, I got another extra day to rest. I'll feel that much better. And you try to maybe just the team that manages it better gets a bit of a competitive advantage.
In that game, but I know both teams wanted it moved to the afternoon because they're now one day short on rest. Actually, 2 days short compared to the team they're going to play.
Oh, for the next week. Yeah.
Penn State played on New Year's Eve. Penn State's going to wind up with 10 days rest. The team that wins this game is going to wind up with 8 days rest.
Yeah.
So that's,
But that's not as big. I don't know. Yeah.
No, it's not like a Texans Ravens turnaround. But it's just, I know from reading the news yesterday that the two teams wanted the afternoon kick for that reason, you know, for rest and recovery purposes.
When I was, how old was I? It must have been when I was in about, I think I was in sixth grade. So however old I was in sixth grade, we were playing a Pop Warner football game, a night game at Midlakes. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the game, there was a report that there was somebody in the woods with a gun. So they shut the lights off of the stadium and had everybody lay down on the ground.
Whoa.
And it was holy scary. God, it was really, really scary. And then they figured it out, and it turned out it was nothing at all, or at least they claimed it wasn't.
Did you keep playing?
We played. We finished the game.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember. All I remember from that emotionally was that I was not proud of. I was kind of ashamed of the way I reacted to it, like that I was as scared as I was laying on the ground.
What do you think you should have done?
I was next to Jen Miller, a girl who had a friend of my sister's, who's like a K-12. I was with her the whole. We were family friends and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking afterwards, I was like, man, if anything like that ever happens again. I wasn't like blubbering or like a basket case or anything, but I felt like there were people around me that I should have been a source of strength for that I wasn't.
Oh yeah.
And I felt like from that day forward, all I remember from that whole incident, I know we finished the game. I don't remember whether we won or not. But was it like, I can't ever be like that. That's unacceptable. I need to be in situations like that. I need to be stronger. And, luckily I've never had a situation exactly like that.
No, that's interesting that at age 10 or whatever you were, that's how you internalized it.
Well, I read a boatload, so I'm always reading these war stories and everything. And I'm like, I was really hard on myself. I was like, I did not act with valor.
Were you mad at yourself that you weren't that way for everybody around there, or for Jen Miller?
Jen Miller, because she was the one that was closest to me. I felt like I let her down.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. She cute? Did you like her, or you guys were just family friends?
She was cute. We never gotcha. We were like brother and sister.
I got you.
And she got a lot of attention from older boys early on.
Oh.
she wasn't in my league.
She
wasn't.
There was a weight class issue here.
At that point, it was kind of like, I think she was dating a freshman in high school or something. And I'm like, yeah, it wasn't an option.
Yeah. We were both scared on the ground. Then she got in her 16-year-old boyfriend's car and
left. Yeah, yeah. She was very attractive. I just feel weird talking. You know when you're having a memory of like sixth grade? I'm like, okay, well, wait a second. Now I'm in my imagination. I'm imagining a sixth grader. So
yeah, it's a little weird.
She was a pretty girl. Yeah, okay, gotcha, yes, gotcha. But okay. That wasn't. Yeah,
I got you. Got you. What'd you think of that Arizona State Texas game yesterday?
Oh, that was fun.
That was fun as hell.
That was fun. That little Mike Allstott wannabe there for Arizona State.
Are you throwing shade at Scataboo?
I'm throwing shade at the play-by-play who when he got...
I didn't hear. What did he say?
So on the play where in the fourth quarter, it was in the fourth quarter, right? When he got carried over the...
I think it was a game-tying touchdown, yeah.
Yeah. The play-by-play guy was like, look at this. He trucks this 335-pound defensive tackle.
You're sticking up for your people. I got it.
And I'm like, that 335-pound defensive tackle was doing fine. The offensive lineman picked Pikachu up and carried him in the end zone.
That wasn't
Pikachu doing it on his own and trucking that defensive tackle.
It was his teammate, and it was a perfect form suplex. Like, he grabbed him around the waist. I'm like, damn, Brock Lesnar, look at you.
It was one of the rule changes that's been the best is that they now, for a long, long time, it was illegal for offensive linemen to help the ball carrier.
Yeah.
And they changed the rule. I don't know when they changed it in college, but in the NFL, they changed it in like 2011 or 2012. I think actually like 2009. And it took like 10 years for teams to catch on to the fact that like, oh, wait, we can actually like turn this into a rugby scrum and drive guys or do the tush push.
The tush push. Well,
it's a fun part of football now that sometimes you get these rolling scrums or offensive linemen kind of pushing guys. But I'm retroactively frustrated that offensive coaches who love to talk about how they're in the lab until 3 a.m. coming up with all these crazy plans.
Took a while.
Like, oh, but you ignored this for 10 years. Go die.
Took a while. Dude, you look at this box score. I know you want to call him Pikachu, but man, I'm looking at the fourth quarter of this game. Malik McLean, 42-yard pass from Cam Scataboo.
Look, Pikachu, that was a beautiful pass. That should have been picked off three times. Before the receiver ever caught it.
How about the catch that he had going down the sideline, like that set up one of the touchdowns?
That was good.
I'm
an honorary Longhorn until the playoffs are over.
You, the honorary Aggie. Honorary Longhorn.
Well, yeah, just for during the postseason. That's the nice thing about being an honorary guy. I don't have to actually like be loyal to anybody.
That's true. You would have liked the group text I had with my college buddies. There's this big rumor going around now that Quinn Ewers could transfer to Notre Dame after the year.
Yeah.
Like, there's a rumor he's got like a $6 million NIL bag waiting for him somewhere. I honestly, I'm not being facetious. I have a hard time believing it's at Notre Dame. But the Colin Cowherd was alluding to. Somebody transferring to Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman has said we're not taking any quarterback transfers this year, but the big rumor is Notre Dame. So the whole group text was this up and down. Quinn Ewers like, oh man, this would be amazing if we got him. Then he throws the pick like, nah, he sucks.
You guys are scouting him.
Totally. All right, we'll lay out the rest of the college football playoff in headlines. Rockets get a win last night as well. We heard from D'Amico Ryans. We got a lot to get to in headlines, and we will do it coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, headlines, let's get to it. The Houston Texans back at practice yesterday. Here's what the injury report looked like. Out from practice yesterday, and I would assume that in this week 18, if these guys aren't practicing on Wednesday because of the lack of meaning for this game and the importance of the next game after that, that Denico Autry, Foley Fatakasi, Kamari Lassiter, and Shaq Mason will all be out for the game on Sunday. I'm assuming. We'll see. We'll see what today's injury report looks like.
Yeah, and like they'll probably use the utmost caution with any kind of injuries. But now, something you told me to watch for, which made sense, was that if I believed that they were going to rest C.J. Stroud, then it would make sense that he'd probably show up on the injury report.
Yes.
And he was not on the injury report.
Nowhere to be found, yeah.
And given the way D'Amico's been talking about it in both his press conferences this week, and given the way that C.J. talked about it yesterday, it sounds very, very, very much like there's going to be almost like a preseason mindset to this. D'Amico's talked about there's a plan for these guys to play, and then they'll see how the game goes.
Yep.
Which is always okay. I mean, it's one of those situations where you get in, like there's so many different possible scenarios where, okay, yeah, I think like in a preseason game, you want your quarterback to go out and have a good drive. You know, and if the first drive is a good drive, you bench everybody. But then you get into that question of like, okay, what if they go out and they have two horrible drives in a row, but you also want them to get their rest? Like, do you pull them after two horrible drives? You wait and give them a third drive to see if they have a good third drive. And then if it's a miserable third drive, then you pull them. And then your goal of getting confidence with these guys, if anything, has been hurt. So I don't like the whole deal. I say just rest them regardless, but it seems to be the strategy they're going with. That they're gonna play at least a series or two.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is there any scenario that you go into this game where you're thinking, all right, I'm going to pull them after XYZ amount of time, but you go beyond that? Like, is there any, like, if it's a close game or if it, like, is there any, for me, there's not.
I don't think
the game matters. Because you're right. D'Amico, his very short answer to that question was, we'll see how the game goes. That was it. That was the whole answer.
But on Monday, he basically said that same thing four times.
Yes.
He's alluded to that multiple times.
And my feeling is, I don't care how the game goes. You know, like, go in. If they need to play them. But don't go in thinking, all right, we're going to play them two series, and then all of a sudden something happens in the game. Like, no, let's keep these guys in for a few more series. You know, like, I don't want the hatred for the Titans to seep into the decision making is what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
These two organizations are not fond of each other. I don't want, and we know, you know, D'Amico's been part of many, many battles with the Tennessee Titans. I don't want it to seep into where he comes into the game going, we'll play him for the first quarter and a half, and then they get in there at halftime. They're like, all right, fellas, let's push it one more. We're good. You know what? Let's put it on him, or, you know, whatever.
And there's a part of me, though, too, that I appreciate the sentiment that, man, doesn't feel right on offense, especially right now, but the defense is coming off of a really rough showing, too.
Yeah.
I appreciate the sentiment of like, hey, you know, D'Amico on Monday mentioned confidence a couple times, or just feeling good about themselves, like that general theme. I'm at a point where I'm like, you know what? It is what it is at this point in the season. It's been 17 weeks, and if your team isn't mentally tough and strong enough to rebound from that bad game and be mentally right in a playoff game, then you probably don't deserve to win anyway.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the human side of it, and that he wants them to feel good about it and everything else like that. But it feels a little too Henry Winkler in The Waterboy-ish. You know, mm-hmm. kind of like, now you've got that confidence, and now you can go out and have more success.
Right.
They're grown men. They're professionals. They had a stinker of a football game against the Ravens, then like do whatever's best for them physiologically to get right for the playoffs. But I don't like just going into a game knowing that you might only play a quarter is the absolute worst way to actually get a good performance out of your team.
Yeah.
It's hey, all those things that you're wired to want to do, win football games and everything else like that, set that aside for a little bit. And our goal is to go have a good couple series.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with you. It does seem like CJ is going to play in this game. We'll see for how long. The part of the practice that the media got to see yesterday, the offensive line configuration still had Tytus Howard at left guard. It had Juice Scruggs at right guard. Does that sound about right to you, given that Shaq Mason is going to be out?
It sounds about right, and I guess the question would be, I mean, honestly, at this point, do I feel better about Shaq Mason or Juice Scruggs at right guard?
Shaq's had a bad year.
If Shaq's healthy.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to remember Shaq getting swatted away like a toddler by T'Vondre Sweat in the last Titans game.
Yeah.
But, I think maybe this ends up being if Juice Scruggs plays pretty well. And now there's a good reason. Now that's a good reason for Juice Scruggs to play the entire game.
Yes.
Is to just get reps at right guard. And, you know, Tytus Howard, that gets a little dicier because Tytus hasn't always been the most durable guy in the world. But he is, you know, playing this position for the last couple weeks. He hasn't had a lot of reps at it.
Yeah.
So that's where maybe those guys play longer than CJ himself.
Yeah, it's a hodgepodge right now, man. So we'll see.
I think they should bring Davis Mills in and have a Davis Mills package, kind of like the Driscoll cat, where you take advantage of his supposed 4.6 40 time, which he's never actually once displayed in a football game. Use all that apparently untapped athleticism to have a crazy RPO and zone read game.
Don't you remember them bringing Davis in the Cleveland game last year? They weren't like RPO packages, but they did bring him in for a series or two. Like,
yeah. It's electric, Sean.
You mentioning that is giving me agita right now. Like, I'm thinking back to that Cleveland game. All right, a couple more things. Dylan Horton, he was named the winner of the Ed Block Courage Award for the Texans yesterday, Seth. That's your favorite trophy, right?
It's the only trophy that I have on display in my house. Not for the glorification of me, but for my own personal enjoyment.
Because holding it up right now.
It's the coolest trophy I've ever seen the history of trophies. It's an actual helmet.
Yeah.
If you're on the YouTube channel, you can see this. It's an actual football helmet that they coat in some kind of pewter polished tone or whatever. Yeah. But then there's like a raised logo that they add
really
on to it.
Yeah.
Bigger than the actual. Like, but you see it's got like the real chin strap and everything.
Wow, and it's got like a trophy base underneath it. I didn't know that.
It's got a trophy base. And then on there, I probably should be more descriptive instead of just pointing to the video. But it's my favorite trophy that I've ever received in my entire life. And it's also just a cool award because any award that you're voted on by your teammates is always extra special. But also, like in the case of Dylan Horton, stage 4 Hodgkin lymphoma. And he didn't just come through it. He's playing football and making football plays.
He's in the rotation, man.
Really, an incredible story for Dylan Horton. I hope he plays 15 more years.
I do too. Seth, you won it in 2004. If you go look at the list of people, D'Amico Ryans is a former winner. He won it the year after he tore his Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans have actually, I hate that this is a stat, but it's true. Since 2014, 4 of the winners have been cancer survivors. It's a very strange phenomenon.
We've talked about this a few times, this is like the larger trend is like younger people are getting cancer more frequently than they used to, but this goes back to pre-2020. I think it's just like one of those things with cancer where, a lot of times the clusters are just random probabilities, but it is strange that the Texans have had 4 players that have had cancer as young men.
David Quesenberry, 2014, Andre Howell, 2018, John Metchie last year, Dylan Horton this year, all winners of the Ed Block Courage Award in the last decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
Rockets win last night, 110-99 over the Dallas Mavericks. Mavericks had a lead in the first quarter. Rockets ran it up on them in the second quarter, and they just brought the ship in. No Luka Doncic for the Mavericks last night. No Terror Twins for the Rockets, though. Amen Thompson serving the first of his 2-game suspension. Tari Eason banged up and out. Man, I wish Tari Eason could just stay healthy. You know what I mean? He's such an impactful player. But Cam Whitmore came off the bench with 18 points last night. We'll play the audio a little bit later. Cam Whitmore had an interesting couple minutes in the post-game scrum with the media where it's very easy to read that he doesn't seem happy with the mystery surrounding what his future is. He gets yo-yoed back and forth from the G League to the big club a lot.
Yeah.
And his minutes are very up and down. You know, obviously he played a bunch last night because you're missing 2 of your key bench guys, and he played really, really well. He was not acting like somebody who played really, really well in a win over the defending Western Conference champions last night.
I think it sounded like he feels like he's demonstrated that he should be used more. And but as somebody on Reddit, trying to be on Reddit more lately because I don't know. There just seems to be pretty, like, it's more level-headed over there.
Yeah.
The interview basically said, like, this is literally the reason the guy's not getting as much playing time. It's evidence of him being immature or just, yeah, like, now it's his public consternation with the way he's being handled is kind of evidence of just, like, how, why they're handling him,
dude,
that way.
So the video is up of that media scrum, and there's people, I see people replying to it. People's opinion I respect going, well, I'd be mad, too, if I fell to 20th in the draft, and then I was being yo-yoed back and forth. And I retweeted, and I said, am I being unfair when I say that media scrums like this are the reason he might have fallen to 20? Like, it's not, that's a symptom. It's not a result of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is why he fell in the draft. Like, that. This is outwardly why people were saying he fell in the draft.
And I think, honestly, but part of it, too, as far as, like, understanding the situation you're in, you know, the difference between Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore is, all right, there's just more competition at that spot.
Yes.
For Cam Whitmore.
Yeah.
On the, like, there's fewer minutes to go around with the wings on this team.
Yeah.
So if there's any kind of jealousy or anything, you got to detach yourself from it and say, oh, okay, the reality is, it's kind of like with the Astros forever, where you could be, you're balling out in AAA or AA, but you're,
nowhere to go.
You're a corner infielder. What are you going to do? Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta hope you're part of a trade for a pitcher.
Until all of a sudden last year, it was like, hey, did you graduate high school? You're major league ready.
It flipped fast.
Spent a little time in high A, did you? All right, here we go.
Here you go. Grab a glove. You're batting third.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, real quick, we just got done doing a whole segment on it, but if you're just getting in your car, college football yesterday, Texas over Arizona State in a thriller, a mistake-filled thriller, 39-31 in double overtime. Ohio State rolled up Oregon. They destroyed Oregon. Can't wait for that Ohio State-Texas game. 41-21, the final score. The Sugar Bowl postponed till today after all the craziness of the terrorist attack in the French Quarter on New Year's Day night on 3:15 a.m. on January the 1st. Notre Dame and Georgia will play today, 3 o'clock kickoff local time. All right, those are your headlines. Up next, let's circle back to C.J. Stroud. Is he hearing the noise outside of the building? I think he is hearing the noise outside of the building. We will have the evidence for that, and we'll dig into some of what D'Amico and CJ had to say yesterday in their press conferences coming up next.